You're listening to Montreal's home of the Habs, TSN 690.
Welcome back. Simon Seligas in for Mitch Mullick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. This is Mullick in the afternoon on a TSN 690 with you till 7. Back again tomorrow and on a Friday. Hey, Gallo, August 26th, you say, right? Conor McGregor and Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yes, sir. I like this last piece of news.
You're loving this. Rod Francis, not so much. You're loving this.
Yeah, the fact that Mayweather has filed for the trademark of a 50-0.
He's 49-0.
Yeah, I love that.
What would have been nice is the NHL announces their schedule and the Habs happen to be in Vegas on this weekend. Would have been nice. You don't have to go to the fight. You can just go to Vegas.
I don't think they're going to be playing in Vegas in August, Simon.
No, I said before the announcer, August 26th. Too bad it couldn't be on the same weekend. Joining us now, as he joins Mitch every Wednesday at this time, from TSN, Gord Miller. Gord, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. I must say, I am very disappointed.
Oh, that I'm here? Or no?
No, that I won my Stanley Cup bet with Mitch for dinner at Moishe's, and he's ducking me the first show after I win the bet.
That's how he rolls.
That's going to cost him an extra bottle of wine at Moishe's.
Wow, I didn't even realize that's true, Gord. It's a weak move.
Wow.
Remember
real
that?
Weak. Yeah.
Remember that? Remember, well, you were there, Mitch. We made the bet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a dinner at Moishe's, and he's ducking me.
Look, what we'll do is like what we do when somebody wins a contest. You can, when we're done with this, just stay on the line and Rod Francis will flip it. He'll give you all of Mitch's contact info, which I'm sure you
Perfect.
Already have.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Hold on. We'll take your number over the air and then we'll.
Yeah. Great. Hey, Gord, just off the top here, level of interest for Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. They're talking about each of these fighters making somewhere around $200 million each.
So I saw a thing online that said, I think Darren Revelle from ESPN said, this will be the biggest pay-per-view buy in history, and it may be by about 25%.
Wow.
Like they're talking about a half a billion dollar pay-per-view buy for that fight. Now, I think Mayweather will destroy McGregor, but that said, the interest in this thing is unbelievable, and I think the marketing of it to sort of bring together Ultimate Fighting and conventional boxing in the same place is a pretty interesting dynamic.
And I just love the timing. We spoke about it before, right? NFL draft is done. NHL just about to, you know, wrap up. The NBA draft is about to wrap up. And then these guys, you know, the dog days of summer, these guys are going to get 2 months, especially south of the border, with literally nothing else to talk about except for this fight leading up to the fight.
No, it's going to be unbelievable, and I think that it's a testament to the power and what little power those sports have remaining. I mean, there was a time when there was a major boxing card almost every month in the '80s. I covered Willie DeWitt and a lot of the heavyweight fights that went on in the '90s. I mean, those things went on 3-4 times a month or a year. Mike Tyson used to fight like 4 or 5 times a year. And so now, I mean, beyond these two, what's the next biggest card they could put together to have a big pay-per-view date? Who could they put on a card to have a big pay-per-view date?
Well, I'm not a big fight guy, but I would have to think it's something on the UFC side. It's something with local boy George St. Pierre getting back into the ring versus whatever the big name at the is in the UFC right now. Because I don't know enough about boxing, but I do know that there isn't two guys that are going to go at it in 90 days from now that everybody's going to stop what they're doing in the sporting community and just talk about this. It's not going to happen.
So,
not in boxing.
Because heavyweight boxing is dormant now.
And it's also,
can anyone name who holds a heavyweight championship?
I'm going to go with Kovalev.
No, it's a Ukrainian guy.
Klitschko,
can't remember his name.
Klitschko, there
Klitschko,
you go. Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with some of the best boxers are not American either, right? So it becomes even a more difficult sale. All right. Gord, a couple of hockey questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
All right. So, Canadians, and they're going to sit down eventually, the Canadians and Carey Price in his camp, and they're going to discuss a contract going forward. I just want to know, look, Henrik Lundqvist, I think it's 8.5.
And that's his cap hit, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think Carey Price is the better goalie. How much? I think the Rangers overpaid for Henrik Lundqvist. That's just my opinion. How much did they overpay? Not by a lot, but I think they overpaid by a little bit. How much can they use just that one comparable? Because Ben Bishop was a quality goalie. He's not Carey Price, but I think he's a very quality goalie. He's the legitimate number one. He's going to make somewhere between, what is it, between 5 and 6. So how many comparables can you draw when they talk about Carey Price?
Well, the problem in this case isn't really comparables because he's looking at unrestricted free agency. So this is different than, you know, when you're dealing with a restricted free agent who, you know, may have arbitration rights or not. The bottom line is, what could Carey Price command on the open market? I mean, if Carey Price were to hit unrestricted free agency, what could he legitimately command on the open market? Could he win? Could he make 10 a year? Sure he could. If Carey Price waits this out, he could get a $10 million contract. Now, the question, I guess, and I know that Chicago did this with Taves and Kane, and try to convince them, look, you guys can make what you want, but we got to put a team around you. Salary cap. So if Carey Price is making 10, how good is the team around him? And that's the question you have to ask, and how important is that to Carey? I still think he re-signs with Montreal. I think he comes in around an average annual value, so the average of his contract will be around 9. Don't forget, Montreal can give him an 8th year, which no one else can give him. Right, the maximum any other team could give him is 7 years in 1 year. So I would think that Price re-signs with the Canadiens. I think the number is somewhere around 9.
A question I think you'd have a pretty good perspective on, just because we've spoken about CBAs and lockouts and stuff like that. When a player wants to take a hometown discount, how much does that bother the NHLPA?
It doesn't, because the dynamic has changed now with these contracts. The pie is only so big. So it's how you divide it up. And in a lot of cases, players might appreciate a guy taking a little bit less if they're teammates because it helps them have a better team. Now, remember, it's different when you're dealing with a player who's got unrestricted free agency looming. So in the case of Max Pacioretty, who, you know, let's be honest, Montreal got a deal on Pacioretty. There were probably players out there that didn't like Pacioretty's contract because it hurts them when they're restricted free agents, which is what he was. That's a different situation. What's funny about it, guys, is that the more the top-end free agents make, the more everyone pays in escrow because the players can only make 50% of the total take in revenue. So the more the free agents make, the more lower-end guys got to pay back in escrow.
Escrow, you know, is one of my favorite words, Gord.
It is. And I hate to say it, guys, but you're going to hear lots more of it in the coming years because, you know, we've seen that some player agents, Anton Sun, Rich Winter, and Kurt Overhart are really up in arms about escrow and want the CBA revised so the players don't pay as much escrow. But if the players make 50% of the cut, how do you make it that way without the players paying into a pool to equalize it? There doesn't seem to be another way. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of agents out there that say, we don't like this current deal, but it's better than what we're going to get if we reopen. Why don't we just stick with what we got? We get 50%, let's just stay with it. If the players reopen, I think it could be a long, bloody war, and the players could really get beat up.
Well, on that note, the general consensus, Gord, is that we're going to see some fireworks. LeBron told us a couple times that there are players who you may not necessarily are aware of, but in fact they may be moved. They are out there. Do you think it's going to be as busy as the chatter seems to indicate?
I think it is going to be busy right from now. Once the protected lists are filed, I think that's Monday. It's Saturday, right? The protected list going Saturday.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of activity, and you're going to see a lot of activity in the draft. And, you know, it's funny. We talked about this on this show. When did Komisarek leave? Was that 4 years ago or 5?
Oh, at least 5, yeah.
Whatever it was, we had this conversation about how defensive defensemen were becoming an endangered species in the NHL. What have we seen this week? Matt Green bought out by L.A., Dan Girardi being bought out by the New York Rangers. I think we're going to see the day when if you're a defensive defenseman who, you know, doesn't contribute at least 20 points to the cause in a year, you're going to see their salaries cut drastically or them just let go. And that's the next thing you're going to see. So, you know, Ottawa asking Dion Phaneuf to waive his no-move clause and you know, declining. You're going to see more and more of that where teams are going to say, unless you're putting up 40 to 50 points on the blue line, we're not paying you the big money.
So is there any way the Canadians can get rid of Yemelin at 4.1?
So I don't think so. Unless they take some of it. Unless they eat some of it. You know, remember when Komisarek left? He got 4-5 in Toronto. And Montreal brought in Hal Gill at, I think, 2.3 or 2.2, whatever it was. And he was every bit as good as Komisarek was.
Yeah.
But you can find guys to defend. It's hard to find guys to create. And on the flip side of that is, a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk's pretty creative, but is also pretty one-dimensional. Like, how much is he going to get out there? Because you saw with Washington in the playoffs, he wasn't playing big minutes for them. He was primarily on the power play, and they were trying to shelter him from bad matchups.
Gord, a couple of things. First, Rod's. I just want to throw this out there. Rod's one of his favorite words is escrow. At U.S. Open goes down this week. One of my favorite words, just in case you're writing this down, fescue. I'm a big fan of the fescue.
Fescue. So, you like
yeah.
the fescue?
Yeah,
man?
I'm a fan.
Isn't fescue just grass?
Yeah, it's a fancy term for grass. Fancy word for grass. That's okay. All it is. High grass, yeah. Maybe. That's it.
High grass, like long grass. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Derek Stepan, 6 year. I believe there's 4 year left on his contract.
What, that was it on golf. That was your only question was about fescue. That's it.
You want? You got a winner for me. I got my golf pool starting. I got to have my picks in by actually the end of the day. So if you got maybe somebody out there that perhaps maybe a sleeper, somebody you like at this U.S. Open, by all means, please let me know.
No, I'm good.
All right, fair enough. So let's get back to Derek Stepan. You know, look at this player and. I don't believe the Canadians are going to land that legitimate one seed. I don't think so. What I like to see from Marc Bergevin is just add to the skill level of this team. Line 1 through 4, the skill level needs to increase. But I like what they did in Ottawa. There is no legit number one, but Kyle Turris is a good hockey player. Can you see somebody like maybe the Canadians making a run at Derek Stepan, trying to do what they did in Ottawa with the center ice position, not blow anybody away, but just be better at it?
Yeah, I could. The difference in Ottawa is they've got Turris and they've got Brassard on pretty good deals. Stepan's expensive. And one of the reasons the Rangers are looking to move him is he's probably overpriced given his contribution. The Rangers are kind of like Montreal. They don't really have a number one center either. And one of the problems they have is Stepan's never really become a great face-off guy. I don't know that Stepan's ever been a 50% guy in a season. So that becomes problematic for a guy who's supposed to be an offensive center. So if he takes a ton of draws in the offensive zone and doesn't win many of them, that's a problem. And so I could see Montreal taking a run, but my question for you guys and for the Canadians is this. Is who you're getting going to be better than Alex Galchenyuk might be?
Not on the. I don't think. No chance he's better than Alex. Or at least what I think Alex Galchenyuk's potential is on the offensive side of the ice. Nope.
So.
Because, Gord, at the end of the day, I am, you know, somewhat critical of the front office when it comes to Alex Galchenyuk. I get it. He's not very good in his own end. Okay, he's not Steve Yzerman. Let's move beyond that. Watching these playoffs, and I love what you said before because it was part of our discussion today here on the show about the direction that the NHL is going. I think it's going to be, everybody's going to be looking for 6 puck-moving defensemen. I think this is the way the NHL is going. And I think you're going to start seeing more coaches lean towards his best defense is when he's on offense, right? And I don't know that Alex Galchenyuk's ever going to be good in his own end, but I think he's going to be able to control the possession when he's out there offensively. So I think there's a good upside here. 30 goals, he got there once. I have no reason to believe that he wouldn't get back out there again. And if they put him out there, they're going to get a 200-foot player, Gord, at the expense of 13, 14 goals. On a team that can't score to begin with, that's a big number and a number that I don't think I'll be able to live with.
So here's the thing. You mentioned Steve Yzerman. Two things about Yzerman. Number one, 6 puck-moving defensemen isn't a recent development. He only took puck-moving D to the Olympics in Vancouver in 2010 and Sochi in 2014. Yzerman did not take defenders to those Olympics. Secondly, Steve Eisenman was a great two-way setter. He became one.
Yeah.
He wasn't one early in his career. And Scotty Bowman, when he went to Detroit, was very critical of Eisenman's defensive play. So he said to Eisenman, I'm happier with you scoring less and playing against the team's top players than scoring more and not being able to play against them. So Eisenman evolved into that role. Ken Galchenyuk, that's the question.
Yeah.
You know, you can teach a guy to check. You can't teach a guy to create and score.
But also, to go back to those Red Wings teams, when Scotty Bowman did look at that bench, he knew that there was other places where he can get goals. When Claude Julien looks down his bench, and I'm not sure how far down his bench he can go and he can continue to find goals.
Right. So, I mean, I guess that's the question that Montreal has to ask. I mean, I'm sure Canadiens management is up all night, you know, worried about the criticism they're getting from outside their team.
yeah.
Not really. But they've got to evaluate, you know, what they get for Galchenyuk. Does it make them better? And the problem is, and it goes back to Carey Price. Look, the window to win for Montreal is now. You've got the world's best goaltender. How long you're going to have him might depend on what you put around him. He's not here for a five-year rebuild. He's here to win. Carey wants to win the Stanley Cup. And if Montreal doesn't give him at least a reasonable chance to do that, then he might look elsewhere. But I think Price wants to stay. I think he likes the team. And if they can tweak it and make it better, I mean, I don't think losing in the first round of the Rangers is reason to rip apart the Montreal Canadiens and start over again. I still think they're a pretty good team. They finished in first place in their division. If you're going to evaluate your team on 1 year in the playoffs, then I guess Chicago should rip up their team because they lost in the first round 2 years in a row.
Yep. Gord, I follow you on Twitter, and I just saw that you're kind of going across the country here and visiting some military bases. If you could just tell us a little bit about that.
That's correct. I'm with Canadian Tire. We are traveling. We were at CFB Wainwright yesterday. We are at CFB Cold Lake tomorrow. We'll be at in Moose Jaw next week and Shiloh, Manitoba. And Canadian Tire has donated nearly $500,000 worth of sports equipment over the last 5 years to military bases across Canada so that members of the force and their families can be fit and active. And in addition to that, the Jumpstart charity is holding Jumpstart games at all these places and has partnered with every military base and wing in Canada to make sure that the children of military families can take part in sports. It's a great program, and I'm really proud to be part of it. We had Lanny McDonald and Damian Warner, the Canadian decathlete, were there yesterday. And tomorrow we got Lanny and Haley Wickenheiser coming. So
nice. Great.
Nice. Yeah, Lanny McDonald was unbelievable yesterday. He had driven up from Montana and was like the most energetic person out there. Incredible.
Yeah, well, I'm still pissed off about 86, so sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? 31 years ago.
89, sorry.
And 89. Yeah. So you're mad about, 28 years ago.
Yeah.
That one of the most honorable and great characters in the NHL got to win the Stanley Cup. That still bothers you.
At the expense of Chris Chelios. Yes, it hurt. Yes, yes.
Chris Chelios, by the way, did subsequently win the Stanley Cup. I don't
he
know
did.
If you read about
yes,
that.
Yes, he did.
Proud
Chris moment.
Did subsequently win the
Very so, proud moment in the Hellenic community of Montreal when Chelly won.
He did not win it with the Canadians.
No,
but
unfortunately, he did not.
That said, I think we need to take our Montreal blinders off a little bit here, and sometimes celebrate when something nice happens to other people. Can we do that for today?
Yes. No, not just for today. I will do it going forward, Gord.
Maybe tomorrow. Today and tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow? Can we do that today? How about until next week when I'm back? No, is Mitch back next week?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Now that you're throwing another bottle of wine, I might be here next Wednesday again.
Well, here's the thing. I've got a CFL game in Montreal in July.
So he can't avoid you forever. That's what it is, Gord. He can't avoid you forever.
He cannot. He can run, but he cannot hide. and I am hungry, and I am thirsty.
Thank you, Gord. Great stuff. Talk to you next week.
Okay, see you guys. Bye-bye.
Gord Miller, TSN. I say it was
always fun.
Yes. I don't want to do the math. I don't know how old I was in 89, but the vision of Lanny hoisting the cup on forum ice hurt. It hurt. I was a fan. I'm a fanboy. What do you want me to tell you?
Oh, no, that was brutal.
I never liked Larry Bird beating my Celtics. I knew how great Larry was. I know how great both Larry were, McDonald and Bird. I know Aaron Rodgers is great, Rod. You don't have to tell me. I get absolutely no joy when he beats down the Bears twice a year. Luckily, we don't play them in preseason because that would be a three-time beatdown. All right, what do we got? We're giving away a $100 gift certificate to Bon C'est Bon. Mitch Gallo, question ready to go? We'll do that. 60 seconds? 60 seconds.
Didn't we park over here?
Actually, it was over here.
Yeah, right by the exit.
Yep.